So how do you become a close disciple? And why do you want to be a close disciple? Here's why. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Now Jesus ascended, so that he, verse 11, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up. We could just stop there and say, grow up. Okay, so we all need to grow up. And that doesn't mean to get more intellectually smart. That means to grow up in all things into Him. Grow up into all things into Him. You know, that's a big sentence. Who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Whew, that was a lot of words. But it's to grow up, and it's to grow up together, and it's so that we're all part of this body in a right way, a mature way. So we're all growing up, right? Amen. This is the wild crowd, so we're all growing up. Nobody's wanting to stay baby Christians around here. So let's just go through some levels. Now, I made these levels up, I think. And so it's not necessarily the way the Bible explains it, but it's a way to take a peek at discipleship. All right? So I would say there's different levels of discipleship. You and I have to decide where we're at, or really at least know that there's another step maybe, and do what's necessary to get there. And then you can also reflect on your past life and your Christian life and see how far you've come. That's always exciting. But, you know, there's people out there that are just barely exploring Christ and they don't really put too much emphasis on Him. Then those that are growing in Christ, that'd be the next step. Then those close to Christ. And then those who are Christ-centered. So everything in your life is done with Him in mind, that you wouldn't make a move without Him. And so there's these different little levels that you can be part of. You want to be part of the Exploring Christ group? No, we've already explored. We found Him. Now do we want to get to the Christ-centered type of a life, where we don't just get to be stubborn and stiff-necked and do our own thing. We wouldn't dare do that, right? So are you to that place yet? So level one is this. Level one disciple would be salvation. Salvation. You got saved, you got healed, you learned that life could be better. Praise God. I found a promise. God is for me, not against me. I'm a Christian now. My life doesn't really look like it, but man, I am excited to be saved. A lot of people like that. You were probably like that for quite a while. The quicker you can get out of level one, the better. But some people never get out of level one and end up drifting back to the world. So you don't want to do that. You got to keep going, because the further you get from level one, the better your life will be and the less chance you'll have of backsliding. Not that that's the motivator, but it does happen. You need to be aware that if you don't grow, you will get stale and might fall back. So level one would be salvation, where, you know, you're all excited about a few things. Level two would be where you get some real spiritual hunger. Real spiritual hunger. Hungry enough not to sleep in church. Hungry enough. When I was not hungry for God, I could sleep in any church service. After I was awakened to God and got hungry, I've never slept in a church service again. I think maybe one time I noticed I was coming close, and I thought, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. Hey, and I know that some of you have some rough stuff going on, and I get it. I understand. You can take a nap every once in a while on me. Or you can stand at the back, whichever. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29. Just let me just give a couple scriptures since we're in church. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Now, remember who Jeremiah was? You knew I was going to do that. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. He was a prophet. He was a weeping prophet. But he ain't weeping no more. He's in heaven and he is not a weeping prophet. He's a joy-filled Christian. Okay, so he said, Jeremiah 29:11, he said, God said this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call and you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with a little tiny bit of your heart, maybe 1 or 2 days out of the month. You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." So there's this whole, all in type of heart search. This is, I'm going all after him. If you go all after God, you'll find him. And if you don't go all after him, you might not. Amen. He says you got to do it with all your heart. "I'll be found by you, says the Lord, and I'll bring you back from your captivity." So if you search for him with all your heart, you'll find him. And anything else, he's not making any promise. Isn't that amazing? Don't you kind of sometimes think, well, I kind of gave him a little time and nothing changed. So you're going to have to be hungry. So level two is where you get a spiritual hunger. Psalm 119 says it a couple times here. Psalm 119. Verse 1, Psalm 119, verse 1. If you don't know where Psalm 119 is, in the very middle of your Bible. Just go right to the middle. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with half the heart." Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. You want to be happy? That's what blessed means. Blessed means happy, right? Y'all understand blessed is not just a spiritual religious term. It just means happy. You okay with that? If you want to be happy, you'll have to seek him with the whole heart. So anytime in your Christianity that you haven't been happy, I would say you haven't been seeking him with your whole heart, probably only a little bit of your heart. We're just trying to be real disciples here. Go to the next level. This is where, level two is where you begin to get filled with God and pursue perfection. Amen. You begin to realize, I have got to get better and closer. And so you go after him. This is where you start reading scripture. Let's say you just started in Matthew, which is a great place to start. Some say John, I don't care. Matthew, John, Luke, Mark, any of those, fine. But start somewhere in the beginning of the New Testament and you start reading stuff and it's like, whoa, this is level two. It's where you read the Bible and start trying to do it. Making decision and commitment. You get to Matthew 5 or something. It says, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you, and pray for those that despitefully use you and abuse you. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, life's changing. Okay, that's level two disciple. That's a good place to be. You might read James chapter 3. And it says, a perfect man bridle his tongue. That the tongue is a world of iniquity. It can set on fire the course of nature. And it's set on fire by hell. And you realize, oh, I got to stop talking. You've heard my story. When I came to the Lord, I was learning real quick and getting excited about the Lord, and I realized really fast. I mean, I'm talking about in the first week, I realized I don't know how to talk. I'm a heathen. I still look and sound like a heathen. I better quit talking till I can learn. And I did. I just kind of went silent for about 3 months. So much so that everybody thought I was real holy. The funny part was that my, and I don't know if God set this up this way or if I needed it. I don't recognize needing it necessarily, but I started a new project with my consulting firm. So I went to a new client in Dallas during my first month being back with God. And so I was with this new team and new clients and everything. And so nobody knew me. And so I showed up here, you know, and you know, I got my Bible in my briefcase type thing. And man, I got my mouth shut and I'm just being loving and kind as best I can. And I remember like the first couple weeks, the new teammates were around me and one of them was telling a dirty joke or something. And another one on the team, he said, whoa, Chaz is here. Don't tell that. Chaz is here. And I thought, if you'd have seen me 2 weeks ago, you wouldn't have said that. But I recognized, you know, if you just keep your mouth shut, you'll look wise. The fool opens his mouth and removes all question. But part of being spiritual is that you don't have to talk. You hold your tongue and you're more quiet than not until it's time to say something worthwhile. See? So, but you can do level two is I start reading the Bible, recognizing, oh, I've got to change the way I do things. I can't just be a blabber mouth. Of course, they might have thought I was, you know, a Christian because I would leave my Bible out. No, I don't do that. You got to do, your witnessing has to be a little bit more than you taking your big Bible out, sitting it on the corner of your desk to show everybody that you're a Christian. That's not terrible. You can do it if you want to, but hopefully your witness goes a little further than that, than your little Jesus plaque, you know. I heart Jesus. Level three. You want to go to level three?
Yes.
Level three is where you find the servers in God's kingdom. People start serving one another, you know. The 70 went from faith in Christ to serving Christ. He sent them out to go. Basically, he said, go to work. You want to get serious with God? You'll have to serve. Amen. You'll have to work in the kingdom. You'll have to do something for somebody consistently, committedly, faithfully. You'll have to be serving. And I would say that means inside the assembly times and outside the assembly times. To serve and to really serve faithfully, you have to attend all the time. It's hard to serve when you can't be counted on. So level three pretty much filters out a whole bunch of people that have, you know, church on their calendar once or twice a month. You can't serve one, you can't serve if you only attend once or twice a month. It just don't work that way. Nobody can count on you. Nobody can find you. Who knows if you're going to be around or not? This is where it goes quiet on a Wednesday night. It just goes real quiet. Everybody starts thinking, well, I wonder how many times I've been this month. Is he talking to me? Is he after me? Has he been counting? In the new building, we're going to have cameras everywhere. We will know who came to church. Terrible, isn't it? I've inquired. Everybody says we want the security cameras, so we'll put the security cameras in. And I'm not going to sit there and like, let me see, did they come to church? No, we got somebody else taking roll. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We only take attendance at the leadership meeting. Why is that? It's because if you're not attending all the time, you can't be a leader. If you can't serve, if you can't serve faithfully, you can't be a leader. And if you're going to be a leader, you got to be there all the time. Just too bad. That's how life goes. And I would say this is where you start serving. That means you're leading others into the kingdom. So soul winning begins at level three. Now, hopefully it began at level one, but really if you're a level three disciple, then you're actually caring about the lost around you. And not that you never skip anybody, but you're pretty much in tune with people's souls. Meaning, I care enough to ask. I care enough to think about it. When I meet, you know, Joe Black, I'm shaking his hand thinking, I wonder if this is my brother, and am I going to get it, or do I need to find a chance to talk to him about the Lord? Yeah. That's level three disciple, where you're caring. You're starting to think about the world around you. You're not just living your own oblivious American life or whatever country you're living in or from. This is level three disciple, where you serve God and you do what he said to do. Amen. Go to 2 Timothy. Of course, Titus talks, several places talk about good works. Titus 2 says that you're zealous. You ought to be zealous for good works. Like you almost can't wait to do something good. And if you can't wait to do something good, are you just hoping Jesus comes so you can stop doing good? Zealous for good works. Can't wait to do something good for somebody. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So level one, man, I'm getting all scripture. I'm all excited about the scriptures. Verse 17 takes you to the level two and three, that the man of God may become complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Not just thoroughly educated, not just to become a spiritual know-it-all, but for every good work. So good works start becoming part of your life at level three. Ephesians 2:10 says this, says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So that's the plan, is that you start serving God, working for the kingdom. And I would say we're going to go to John chapter 11, so you can start turning there. Give you a heads up so we can save time. Okay. So in level three, your calendar changes. I used to say all the time here in church that, you know, when we start giving announcements and when you get your church bulletin, when you get your church bulletin, whether it's in church or whether it's on your email, when you find out the events that are coming, you should immediately pull out your calendar. Let's have some quiet time here at Houston Faith Church so everybody can either get mad at me or feel convicted or something. Yeah, church needs to start touching your calendar. Okay? Your life is not supposed to be exempt from church life. People say, oh, no, it's God first and then family second and then church third. Is that right? Doesn't that make kind of sense? God first, family second, church third. Should I go there? Okay. It's the Wednesday crowd. We can all handle this. No, it's not God, family. Most people have family first anyway. It's not God, family, church, okay? God is the same as Jesus. Jesus and God together, same level, right hand of the Father, Jesus and God, right? Spirit as well. Jesus and God go together. You can't separate those two. Jesus has two parts. Jesus the head and Jesus the body.
Amen.
Do I need to carry on with this?
Yes.
Jesus the head, we know he's the person who's seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus the body is the church. More quiet time? We need some more quiet time? And so here's where a lot of Christians have to really, and I know people get, they don't like this. I mean, I have been told by even mature Christians that they hate it when I do this. But I don't care. I just don't care. This is how you start peeling off some of your layers so you can go to the next level here. Many Christians love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, yes. I never denied Jesus. I love Jesus. But I really don't care too much about his body. It's like I want to see Jesus today, but Jesus, I invite you to come on in. Just bring your head. Because I just, your body takes too much effort, too much of my time. But I can just think about you, the head, all the time I want. Okay? Jesus, the head, and Jesus, the body go together. If you're all for Jesus, then you go to church. If you're all for Jesus, then you serve at church. And I know that family sometimes, a lot of stuff going on. I understand life. I understand calendar. I understand all that. But you just have to have a commitment in your heart. And it should deeply bother you if you can't be faithful and can't serve. It should deeply bother you enough to where you begin to start using your faith, following the Spirit, trying to find a way that I can start being part of a body and start serving and start being faithful and where people can count on me and where I start loving everybody. And man, I owe everybody every week my love. And they're not going to make it if they don't see me type mentality. Not in a prideful way, but in a I'm serving the body of Christ way. You know, Jesus even said, he said, how can you say that you love me if you can't even love one another? How can you say that you want to be with Jesus when you don't want to be with people? Okay. This level, we're still at just level three here. I said we're still at level three here. This is where your calendar changes and you start serving God. The reason people have a hard time getting to church or committing is because life is bigger. Their domestic life, sometimes work life, sometimes both, is just seems bigger. The problems are bigger. The responsibility is bigger. And it just seems bigger than the kingdom. Yes. We're having a lot. If you're watching via live stream, we're having a lot of quiet time tonight. We're reflecting. All right, let's go to level four. You want to go to level four? Yeah. Or do we need to camp here longer? And I'm not doing this because we don't have any servants here at church. Man, we have got a lot of, I mean, we've got more than half the church that's serving in some capacity. So we're excited about that. And man, I just praise God for you guys and thank you for your love and your service to everybody. I mean, that's one thing that makes it really fun and great around here, okay? So any local church that has a lot of heartfelt, sincere servants is going to be awesome. Not just people punching a clock and, you know, trying to, you know, get their name on the list so they can go to the dinner once a year. But I'm talking about that's the type of thing that builds unity and builds love where you're not just on your own anymore. Now we got synergy going, the unity that brings power and glory and love and all that. So praise the Lord for it. All right, so level four. You ready to go level four? Level four is partnership. Partnership with God. Co-workers together with God. It's where leadership begins. It's a moment-by-moment influence of God's Spirit in one's life. Where spiritual hunger for more than just personal development, for more than just life improvement. So you have a hunger to actually do more in the kingdom than just get your life better. So all choices at this level become carefully considered, held to the standard of God's word, where fellowship with Jesus becomes paramount to you in every aspect of life. You start to live a real separated life. And if it wasn't for your church family, this is where you would get lonely. Because you're so close to Jesus, He's most important to you. And if you don't have Christian friends in your circle, you will start to get lonely. Praise the Lord. This is where your life is so dedicated that you're just going to be with Jesus and that settles it. This is where the 70 didn't seem to quite make it. Okay? And maybe this... We're not sure of the numbers exactly, but remember when all the disciples except the 12 walked away from Jesus because it got too hard? Remember when he said something, they didn't appreciate his sermon that day, and they left? Well, if you're going to go to level 5, you don't leave. Level 4 is where you say, I'm sticking out. There's nothing that can offend me to make me leave the Lord. I don't care what happens. Nobody can make me leave the Lord. No demon and no body. And no time clock that, you know, where something didn't happen. Nothing's going to... At this level, man, you're done. You're cooked. Yep. Partnership. I'm a partner with God. He needs me. He needs me. I can't leave him. That's exciting life right there. Highly, highly committed. I'm not committed to the world. I'm committed to him. You ready to go to the next level? The fifth level is deep intimacy with God. Deep intimacy. John 11, I wanted to go there. Deep intimacy. I mean, you can have some intimacy, but we're talking, this is a little deeper here. In Luke 6, it says, everyone who is perfect shall be as his master. This is where you start thinking like God. This is where you start acting like Jesus. This is where you start really, it's hard to tell you and Jesus apart. And the good news about it is that you get to have this John 11 experience. John 11, verse 41 says, they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. This one he's going to raise Lazarus. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. Verse 42, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. This little statement here that Jesus made is what I think you find in your deep intimacy with God. He said, I know that you hear me always. When you get this close to Jesus, you'll know that he always hears you. You'll start feeling your confidence level will go through the roof when you get this intimate with God. Where you're not trying to believe, you're not trying to trust God, I'm not trying to get something to happen. You just know. You get that funny look on your face. Everything's okay. I'm so close to him. I know he hears me. I'm following the Spirit. I'm not having to work the Spirit up to get an answer. I know I'm committed. I can trust my motives. I can trust myself. Half the time people can't trust God because they know they can't trust themselves. Right. See, when you start getting this intimate with Jesus, you've gone through these levels of consecration and you can trust yourself. I mean, first thing you need to be able to trust is your word. Can you trust your own word? Can you do what you say? Then you got to trust your motives and your actions and your all of those things start involving and start affecting your faith. And so once we start to get closer to Jesus and the cobwebs come off and the crust falls off and all of a sudden I'm just pure and open to the Lord, I can trust me and I can trust him. I'm not saying you have to have faith in you. I'm just saying you need to be able to feel confident. Because I think this level is where you're just ultimately confident in the Lord all the time. In the middle of your insecurities or whatever problem you might have, man, you just trust in him. And you know God hears you all the time. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Of course, this is, I think level 5 is where you have to go through the Philippians chapter 3 where Paul said, I count everything that I count all of me as rubbish that I may win Christ. And then he says, here's this one thing that I want. It's to know him and the power of his resurrection. Remember that? To know him. This is the only thing I'm searching for. I've thrown everything else out except to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Amen. Have you been able to pray that? Jesus, I want to know your sufferings. I mean, you might have quoted it, but man, have you really prayed it? Do you really want to know the fellowship of Jesus' sufferings? No quiet time needed here. Let's move on as fast as we can. You know this one. There's an experience with the Lord where you're going to have some sufferings. Not worldly sufferings, not the sorrow of the world, not death and destruction. No, that's not what the sufferings of the Lord are. The sufferings of the Lord is this whole idea of living a consecrated, sanctified life, and anybody who lives godly in Christ will suffer persecution. You'll suffer the loss of all your world. So let's read here in 2 Timothy. I think it has some phrases here that I want to go through. I said this on Sunday, that when the Lordship of Jesus is settled in the Christian's life, all other issues are settled. And then you'll fill all of your duties, obligations, and responsibilities with joy when the Lordship of Jesus is settled. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Or let's read verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're not familiar with hardship as a soldier, are we? You have to recognize when the Bible was written, when Paul wrote these letters, there was great persecution everywhere they went. This was like some phenomenal, radical, religious new way that was being brought to a land that had never heard it before. There was no government that accepted Christianity. Nobody even knew what Christianity was. All they knew was this new way that somebody was talking about, trying to sway people from the government and from other religions, even from their false gods. That's all they knew about Christianity. So there was tremendous persecution and hatred against the gospel. And so Paul writes these letters and says, hey man, expect some hardship. See, we don't even have a clue about religious hardship. We get mad because somebody wanted to take our Christmas tree out of the mall. That ain't hardship. So you need to move beyond getting all offended at, you know, somebody didn't accept your Christianity. Well, they don't let me pray at the football game anymore. What do you mean they don't let you pray at the football game anymore? You can pray anytime you want, anywhere you want. Okay, sorry. You got to put yourself, you got to go further. You got to go for it. Level 5 says, I'm going to get some fellowship of his sufferings along with the power. Not everybody goes to level 5, do they? It's a deeper, far, further, more intimate place that most people aren't even familiar with. Hadn't even heard that there is a place. Most people are still at level 1 and 2 just trying to get by. Isn't that right? Just trying to get a little blessing. I just need a job, man. I'm not putting you down if that's where you're at. I mean, that's where we come from. I mean, we have to step up these levels. We have to, and hey, you might be at level 4 and lose your job. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you just barely getting God's hand to come into your life in some way. But you get to level 5 and you've seen his hand plenty of times. You've got confidence that I know he hears me always. You can't get that without having some need in your life. Great faith is a result of great need, great trials, great history. You can't have great faith without having to win some battles. You can't have great faith till you've, you know, had to go through a storm, kill a giant, move a mountain. You can't have great faith. You can have an idea of it and hope that you can do it. You can't be a champion until you win the game. You don't get to be a world champion star until you go through all the hardship of losing, winning. And then you got to fight for all those things. So, level 5, man, you've done it. You've done some stuff. You're not just a rookie hoping. And a lot of that has to do with you working out in your soul all of these difficulties that come along concerning your beliefs. Could be with your friends, your spouse, could be with your pastor, your church, could be with your job, could be with your heathen family, could be with your lukewarm family. There's a lot of stuff that we have to deal with. I mean, there's some sadness that we have to deal with. Part of the sufferings of Christ is to experience the sadness of seeing people you love who don't care like you care. And deciding, you know what, I'm leaving you behind because I'm not coming back. That's hard. It's hard when it's a child. It's hard when it's a parent. It's hard when it's a spouse that you got to keep serving God even though you leave them behind. There's so many Christians that, you know, they want to serve God, but their spouse doesn't, so they keep waiting. Well, I want them to do it with me. I want them to do it with me. No. You better go after the sufferings of Christ and serve without them.
Amen.
You better get your little fanny to church.
Amen.
You better start growing in the Lord. Because you don't stand with your spouse on judgment day.
Amen.
You stand all by your little self.
Yes.
And you will answer for how did you honor the word? Did you honor the instruction and the leading of the Spirit? So level 5 says, you know, I'm going on. I'm going to suffer. It causes some suffering. But I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Level 5 says, well, I mean, maybe you solve this at level 1 and 2, but level 5 says, you know, I'm going to get filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to live a Spirit-filled life, and I'm going to have some wild manifestation that I can't explain. And I'm going to do it because Jesus said, you will speak in tongues, and you will do it.
Amen.
See, that's when you get real, and maybe this really happens back, you know, level 3, 4, when you say, you know what, Jesus said it, I'm doing it. I don't care what reputation I lose. I don't care what denomination does to me. I don't care if I lose my pastorate. I don't care if they blacklist me. I'm going to get filled with the Holy Spirit and do whatever I can't understand because Jesus said you better.
Amen.
I mean, that was like a big deal to Jesus. He said, John baptized you in water. I'm going to get you with fire and Holy Spirit. You're going to speak in tongues, cast out devils, lay hands on sick people. And he never said, I'm going to take that away when the apostles die. You know, but when you hear that message the first time, you know, the heart that's fully in says, I'm going for Jesus.
Amen.
I don't care what people say, man. I'm going all the way here.
Amen.
There ain't no way to get to level 5 without the Holy Ghost.
That's true. That's right.
No way to get to level 5 without experiencing the power of His resurrection.
Amen.
You can try it, but you'd be about level 4.5. Really, this starts earlier, but I know that there's some very spiritually mature people that still haven't gone all the way. And that they're never going to get to the place where Jesus was, where He said, I know that you hear me always. It's where you read it and you start working it out in your soul. You see it in God's Word, you start working it out in your soul. You get a truth. You hear it, you read it, you whatever, you start working it out. Like, I'm not going to reject stuff just because it's a little more difficult than the other. So you endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So at this level, you're not sticking too close to the world. And if there's a problem in the world, it's not dogging you. Hey, look, we got a lot of stuff to deal with, but don't get entangled in it. And don't get entangled with other people's stuff that they're going through. And don't get entangled with people's stuff on the news that they're going through. You don't have a capacity to handle the news. Really, really, we don't have enough capacity to handle world news. You just don't have enough. You can't fix world crisis. You can't even pray with faith around the world like that. If you're going to pray around the world, you better pray for salvation of souls everywhere. You can't fix everything in the world. You're not built to handle all that. You can't even handle your neighborhood, much less the overseas. But we're not built to handle all the crisis that everybody in Houston has gone through this weekend. You can't handle the sorrow of one person going through a catastrophe. You can't handle that. We're not built for that. That's not. So you're getting, don't get entangled with all that.
Amen.
And be careful about politics. You know, we know how to vote. We know how to propagate what we need to, but don't get entangled in that stuff. If you're going to war, if you're going to be a soldier, if you're going to go to level 5, you can't be entangled with all that stuff. Verse 5, and if anyone competes in athletics, praise the Lord, he's an Astros, praise the Lord. No, I'm just teasing. He's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. I want to skip down to verse 11. This is a faithful saying. Now, in your Bible, do you see this, how it's kind of... Set apart? Well, it's not necessarily a scripture from anywhere in the Bible, but it says this is a faithful saying. Most scholars believe this is a hymn that they sang in the early church. And so this hymn is kind of interesting. that Paul would refer to. I mean, it was so popular that he referred to it here in his letter. And he's confirming or affirming, yeah, this is a faithful saying, this is right. But this apparently was a song that they used to sing together. And it was a song not just to be singing a song, but it had truth in it. It was one of the tools that they used to convey truth and remind themselves of truth. So just want to take a little journey through it here. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. Amen. Did you die with him? Yes. Ultimately, if you die in Christ, you'll get to live with him. But he's probably also talking, I mean, it could be speaking about a martyr's death. If you died as a martyr, you'll also live with him. Anybody want to sing that? But it's also probably talking about you dying to self and dying to the old way and the old man and dying to the world so that you can live with him. So we're dead to the old and we're alive to the new. So it's probably talking about that. Verse 12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. You want to sing that? You want to look somebody in the face and sing to them? If we deny him, he will deny us. Well, this is serious stuff here. This is the attitude imparted at the early church. It was this sincere lifestyle with Jesus. Not just a little easy Christianity. This was sincere stuff. You have to realize back then that the persecution was so heavy that people were turning back to the, you know, even in Ephesus, Nero's persecution in that region was so strong that many Christians departed and went back to their pagan temples. So they wanted to remind everybody, hey, if you deny him, he's going to deny you. So let's sing a song about it. Today, you're like, oh, no, just think about the love of God. Sing about the love of God. Only sing about the love of God. That's the only thing you got to think about is the love of God. There's just too many Christians who have fallen away thinking about the love of God. He loves me so he don't care what I do. You know, that's garbage stuff because we didn't keep it sincere enough. You know, and that's the danger. If your church only preaches from the pulpit level one messages, you never really create disciples. So yeah, I think at some point you got to go through all the levels. You got to hit everybody at every level when you're ministering to a big crowd. Don't you agree?
Amen.
And if you can't do it in your main services, then you got to do it behind the scenes. The problem with doing it during the Bible study time is only the sincere ones come to the Bible study time. What are you going to do with that? Well, we pray for people to get the Holy Spirit, you know, in the small group meetings. But not only about 20% go to the small group meetings. Anyway, I mean, I'm not putting down anybody's work. I'm not doing that. I've seen so many great numbers from so many great churches. I would never put them down. But when you start looking at real discipleship, there's a reason why the state of the church is in a place that it's at. So there's a bunch of us, not just this church, but there's a whole bunch of churches that have recognized this and they're taking people to a deep, intimate place. Aren't you appreciative of that? There is more churches at level 5 or headed that way than I would say ever before. Part of it had to do with emptying out some of the denominational churches that had gone stale. Not against denominations. They all started with a lot of fire and fervor, ended up being quite traditional and liturgical and, you know, human driven. And so there has to be an outflow from them to places that are, you know, serious and on fire and all that. So y'all want to keep reading the song? If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord to not to strive. Okay, we'll stop there. Verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. We'll do one more scripture and then we'll be done. Hebrews 10. You know, you think, why would anybody leave the Lord? Well, you know, think about how many Christians are sitting at home. How many people came up with something to stop serving God, going to church. You know, even in Paul's day, he wrote that letter and he said, you know, Demas has forsaken me. Remember that? Why? Having loved this present world. So he had a partner, because one of his letters in Philemon, he said, and Demas and all these fellows, we salute you. And then later on, he said, Demas forsook me. I need you to come see me because Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. I think that's a big one, that the lust of other things, that the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for a good life filled with, I don't even know what, filled with getting an RV and traveling around the world, traveling around the nation. You can't travel around the world in an RV. But. That those are dreams and desires of loving this present world. I'm not against vacation, so summer's over. Hebrews 10, verse 35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Stop there. Verse 37, for yet a little while, he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Remember that one? If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That word, how many of your Bibles read the word patience? Mine says you have need of endurance. Does yours say that? If yours says you have need of patience, maybe you have the King James or something. The word patience and endurance, same word in the Greek, but endurance probably gives a little bit better translation. The word in the Greek is called hupomene. I don't really know how to pronounce it, and I don't care. But it's made from two parts, two Greek words form this word for endurance. The first part, meno, it means to stay or remain or continue or to permanently abide, which would refer to being unmoving and very stable. Same word is used in John when Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. That word abide means to be unmoving and stable. But then when you add this extra word, hupomena, when you add hupo, it means under, and it refers to being under something very, very heavy. So put these words together, and it means being resolved not to move. Being resolved not to move. You get to level 5, you'll be hupomena. Even under heavy spiritual weight or heavy endurance requirement or heavy duration or heavy uncertainty, you remain faithful. We remain unmoving and stable. You have need of endurance, that after you've done the will of God, you will receive the promise. We cannot afford to draw back. None of us can afford to draw back. Nobody. We can't allow people to get deceived. Don't let yourself ever be deceived by the devil. Don't let yourself ever be deceived by the devil. He's causing you to lose your endurance. He's causing people to get discouraged. He's causing people to consider what they're missing. I'll tell you what you're missing. You're some silly show. That's all you're missing. Some silly show or some silly thing that you were going to do anyway. Not, okay. He'll get you to consider all sorts of things to help you depart. And what he'll do is he'll convince you, he'll convince people you're not really departing from God. You're just departing from all that system and religious system, and we don't believe in big church. You ever heard people say that before? I don't believe in big religion or formal religion or professional religion and stuff like that. That's the devil helping them disconnect from the things related to the kingdom of God. Well, you don't have to go to church to be saved. Every time that statement is said, it's because somebody was deceived by the devil. And the devil always says something half true. Really, he always says something true out of context, in the wrong way, without explanation, without any other scripture. Don't be deceived. Don't ever, I mean, listen, I don't care how hard life gets. I don't care how tough things feel. I don't care how squeezed you get. Don't ever let the devil move you off. You stay unmovable. There is nothing that can move me. As stupid as we've all been, even as Christians, I am not moving away from the Lord. I am not. There is no way. There's too much at stake. Not only my eternity, but other people's. You get to level 5 and it's no longer about you. It's about others. There's too much at stake. For all the people that know you're a Christian, there's too much at stake. You got half of your heathen people that are rooting you on, thinking, man, I love seeing a good person make it. I love seeing a non-hypocrite. I love seeing a Christian live what they believe. I'm not coming with you, but I love watching you. They're kind of secretly rooting for you. You got other half of your heathen people hoping you don't make it. Hoping you don't remain faithful, because as soon as you step back a little bit, they're like, whew, see, I knew that nobody could really do it, so I don't have to. There's just too much, and they might go to hell. There's too much. One person going to hell because of me is just too much. There's too much at stake. You need to feel that way. I mean, everybody in leadership has to feel that way, but as a Christian, you have to start feeling that way. If you're going to level 5, you got to start feeling that way. That you're an example of this kingdom of God. This is serious. You and God are partners, man. We're partners with Him.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.